On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, baseball takes care of business in the midweek games, men's basketball season officially comes to a close, and women's basketball awaits Selection Sunday. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 138 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And what is up, Gamecock Nation? How are we doing out there? This is a fantastic week if you are a college sports fan, which if you're not, I don't frankly know why you'd be listening to the show, but I mean, if sure, like, go for it if you are, but it's a fantastic week. The week of championship tournaments for college basketball is just so electric. There is just constant action going on. The teams are familiar with each other, so they always go down to the wire. I love seeing which potential Cinderellas are punching their ticket, winning their tournaments, and it has been a little bit of early madness. You've had some teams that you thought might have run away with smaller conferences losing. It's just the best precursor, the best appetizer for the big dance, which cannot come soon enough. And I'm very, very excited for that. Got a fun episode for y'all to hear. Got a lot to cover, good amount to cover here. Going to start with a week in review here from around USC Athletics. Starting with Tuesday, you had the men's golf team winning their first match of the year, first intercollegiate tournament of the year in the Palmetto Intercollegiate. So that's exciting. That is effectively the Gamecocks' home course. It's in Aiken, home tournament. So that was really fun to see defending home turf there. And then softball beat Winthrop 5-0. Then on Wednesday, you had men's tennis beat Ohio State 4-1. Yeah, screw the Big Ten. Screw the Buckeyes. That's fun. And then softball beat College of Charleston 10-0. Good Lord. Softball is just really kicking ass. I know I've said this like 10 times, but I feel like every time I share an update, they're just smoking people. So very exciting to see. Will be fun to see how their season shakes out. And then there is a lot of action from around all sports coming up on this weekend. So next episode, I will bring y'all up to speed on those scores and everything like that. Also on Sunday, that is Selection Sunday for all the NCAA tournaments. So our women's team, not that there's much to wait for, right? I mean, like, they are surely set to be the number one overall seed. And I believe playing in Colonial Life for the first two rounds. And then I think Greenville is the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. Don't quote me on that one, but surely they are set to be the number one overall seed. I do not think they will be sweating their seeding, but nevertheless, will be exciting to see who all is in our bracket, potential matchups for Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and whatnot. So keep an eye out on that. I will be posting it on my social media and everything like that. And their tournament gets underway next Friday and Saturday. So I will, of course, preview y'all before their matchups. So that timing actually works out really well, where we'll be able to walk through their first round matchup and then their second round matchup as well. Of course, assuming all things hold and we do, in fact, get to the second round, which I fully expect. And then some. which brings me to games that were in action and scores that happened, and that starts with men's basketball. So their season has officially come to an end as they lost in the first round of the SEC tournament, losing to Ole Miss 67-61. And, you know, this was a game where you could tell both teams started out jittery, needed to settle in a bit there. Gamecocks, kind of throughout the game, honestly, had just bad turnovers, a couple silly mistakes in this one. Just, I don't know, they looked out of whack, especially in that first, I'd say, 8-10 minutes or so. And South Carolina was trying to keep the pace back to our level. You could see Ole Miss trying to push the tempo a bit, and it was just this battle of wills. And at times in the second half, it did seem like Ole Miss was getting ready to pull away. It seemed like they got on some runs, and, you know, I'm sitting on the couch watching like, oh, God, like, you know, here it comes. Next thing I know, we're going to blink and be down a lot. But every time that happened, Carolina would battle back, find a way to scrape back and keep it close. And they kept it close until the very end. You know, I mean, only losing by 6 points, but it was a 4-point game, 3-point game right at the very end. And in many ways, this game felt like it was a summary of so many games for this team where you would show flashes of being very competitive, flashes of being able to take the lead, and just felt like you were ready to take that next step, but just ultimately coming up just short. And yeah, I mean, with that, the season is over. And I mean, it was certainly an interesting year, right? Tough year. And I know there was a lot of hoopla going into this year, and I think us Carolina fans are past the coaching search debacle that was in this offseason. And I think we're past moving on from the old coach. Maybe there was some debate there and whatnot. The fact of the matter stands that I know that there were a lot of people upset with the results of this regular season and just looking at the win total in general. And rightfully so, you can be upset with that. But guess where we are right now? We are in the exact same spot that we were for the last, 5 years? We're sitting on the couch. We're not in the NIT. We're not in the big dance. So I'm okay with having this year be a rebuild year with a thin roster and having to rebuild and try to find momentum for next season. Because right now, Lamont Paris and his team, that's what they have to focus on. Roster management, getting ready for next year, who's staying, who's going, and trying to figure out who they can try to tag in the transfer portal and really buckle down with on the recruiting side of things. I don't think anything is official yet, but early word is that Michi Johnson, Josh Gray, and Jacoby Wright should be returning. I'm going to go ahead and say you can probably feel safe in saying Chico Carter Jr. and Zachary Davis will also come back. That's a nice group there, right? That's a group you can build with. You can have a core of guys who know the program. Because looking back on this year, I'd say there was about 4 or so games that a more experienced and cohesive team probably win. So hopefully, simply just by having a group of guys that know the expectations from Lamont, that know his system, that know what it's like to play with each other over a full year, hopefully that alone can raise this team's performance and win total just organically next year, right? And, you know, it's too early for me to put expectations on Lamont Paris and company for next year, you know, as far as a win total goes. I will have a number in mind as we get closer to next season and ramp up for that. But all I really can say is that now that the season is officially over, while I look forward to next year, I am very relieved and excited to turn my full attention and focus to our women's team and our baseball team, which have just brought joy over these last couple of weeks, and especially with the women's team as they begin their quest for another national title. So until next year, men's basketball, hopefully it is the beginning of something and we can look back and say, yeah, that team grinded so this other team could flourish. And until next year, y'all. Which brings me to the baseball team, as they were in action twice, having two midweek games, and took care of business in both of them. Tuesday, the Gamecocks played the Citadel at home and won 8-1. This game started a little slow. Carolina was a little bit slow out of the gates here, and it was a low-scoring, close game, like 2-1 through the fifth inning. But then came the sixth and seventh inning, where Carolina was able to put up those crooked numbers, as they say, and ended up building a nice lead to win the game rather comfortably. Eli Jones started the game and got the win, going five innings, only letting up one run. Some player highlights for y'all here. Gavin Cassis went 2-for-4 with two RBI. Ethan Petrie went 2-for-3 with two ribbies. And then Jonathan French got in on the action, going 1-for-3 with a home run as his RBI. And then on Wednesday, the Gamecocks took on USC Upstate in Greenville, and they won 19-1. I'll say that again. 19-1. I mean, I had to rub my eyes and make sure that I was, in fact, watching baseball. I mean, you know, like, what sport am I watching here? Football? Basketball? I mean, my goodness gracious. South Carolina put up 7 runs in the second inning and 6 runs in the third. So you had 2 touchdowns in this game. In this game, obviously, it just turned out to be an absolute rout of USC Upstate. What is USC Upstate? Are they the Spartans? Really randomly? They're not the Fire Ants, I don't think. Someone DM me that. I'm too lazy to look that up. Someone DM me that, what USC Upstate is. Nevertheless, though, this was a bullpen game for Carolina with Matthew Becker opening. He ended up getting a no decision, went 3 2/3 inning. It was Nick Proctor, excuse me, who got the win. He came in relief for Becker, who had gotten into some trouble, and Proctor was able to get out of it and ended up getting the win because of it. I think he only pitched that one out, got a fly out in a big spot there. In total, it was 6 different pitchers after Becker, and all of them really just did an amazing job to keep USC Upstate off the scoreboard and largely even just off the bases in general. Some player highlights for y'all here. I mean, how do you limit it to a few guys after you score 19 runs? I'll just say everybody, right? But to highlight a few here, Gavin Cassis, he's on a tear right now. He went 3-for-4 with 5 RBI. Now, of note, he did leave the game early. He had some hamstring tightness. Mark Kingston said he's going to be okay. He just felt it tighten up a little bit, and based on how the game was going and such a blowout, they decided to take him out. So I don't think there's any cause for concern, but definitely something to keep an eye on, especially as we head into the weekend series. Braylon Wimmer went 1-for-3 with 3 RBI. Carson Hornung, 3-for-4 with 2 RBI. So just a fantastic game from the guys all around here, and after coming off such an emotional weekend, it was nice to see them carry the momentum. You know, last year, a big frustration of the team was that they dropped some midweek games. I believe they lost to the Citadel last year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong there, but there were a couple of midweek games that they dropped. And to see them start the midweeks so well, back-to-back games, after a very tough series where you had to travel. That's just a good sign. It's a good sign, and that's certainly what you want to be able to do against teams that you should be beating. Now, up next for the Gamecocks here, it is a weekend series against Bethune-Cookman. That is at home at Founders Park. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know much about Bethune-Cookman baseball. I'm just not. So, to me, this series is about keeping this momentum up. I mean, so far, the only time this season South Carolina has stumbled was when the guys were away from Founders Park. So you want to see the guys come into this series focused and ready to play good baseball and just continue to have productive at-bats. It felt like in the midweek game you really saw complete efforts. Mark Kingston talked about it, saying it was all phases of the game. It's funny because you always think of phases in football, really, but pitching, hitting, and defense. The defense was solid, no errors. The pitching was fantastic. I mean, one run in each game allowed, and obviously the hitting speaks for itself. But again, it's not this all-or-nothing approach. Like, yes, guys are hitting home runs, and that's fantastic. But you are seeing guys get on base and score in different ways. Singles and doubles driving guys in. Guys being proactive and getting on third base and scoring on passed balls. That's what you want to keep up. Just have productive at-bats. Pitch well. Don't let this series become close, right? Your weekend rotation is the same as it has been. I mean, really, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Will Sanders is pitching Friday night. Noah Hall is on the bump on Saturday. I think that game first pitch is scheduled for 4. And then Jack Mahoney gets the game on Sunday, which starts at 1:30. So yeah, these guys, you want to see more of the same. Will, he has struggled a little bit this year with his command. He settled in at Clemson, but he got tagged early. I'd like to see him really have a nice start from the jump, from the word go, even if it's on the shorter side, even if he goes just, let's say, 5 complete and it's 1 run or something like that. Just let him get that feeling of absolute domination. Noah has been domination this year, and Jack fought through that difficult start last series, but look for him to continue that as well. My crow to the series here, kind of alluded it to it already, but I'm going to say get production from all spots in the lineup. You know, there have been a couple of guys this year who have struggled at the plate. You know, Evan Stone comes to mind. Dylan Brewer was slow, even though he had a nice midweek game there. And it has been okay for those guys to struggle a little bit early just because the rest of the team has been so hot. But this would be a great series to see some of these guys come out of their shell a bit and swing the bat well. It goes without saying, but the longer you can stretch out your lineup, the more dangerous that you are. So let's see some solid production from whoever it is in the 8th and 9th spot. It would be nice to get some of these guys going, right? So it's going to be a fun series. I expect a good one from Carolina. And let's go Cox. Let's go Cox, man. Big weekend. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.